Father, we just thank you again for this beautiful study. Father, you are so good. You have shown your bondservants the things that must shortly take place. And we know that this message is not only to the seven churches, but it's to all who will hear, to warn them for the wrath to come, to give them a chance to repent, to come to you, confess their sin, come to the foot of the cross where Christ paid the price of redemption for all who will believe. And Father, the time is short. There are many, many signs for your second coming that we will study for the rest of this study in Revelation. We will study those signs to watch for. And Father, you were so faithful. You would that none perish but all come to repentance, knowing in your heart that they will not. And Father, it breaks our heart as we go out from this class knowing what you have told us, and we see the deaf ears that our message falls on. And Father, it must break your heart too. And what breaks your heart breaks our heart. But Father, we look forward with great joy for the time when you will come back and make all things new. You will remove the curse and we will have no more sin. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory, and we will worship you forever and ever for who you are and all that you are, because you are faithful and you are true and you are love. And we ask you to teach us one more time this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, here we are. As we open this final lesson, chapter 12, let's talk a minute about what we saw last week, because it was a whirlwind week. And we did the timeline, and we went through chapters 19 and 20, and we saw the great white throne judgment. And we saw that the only souls at that great white throne judgment were the unbelievers of all ages, all the way from Cain in the Old Testament, all the way through the end of the thousand-year reign here of Christ on earth after the second coming. And they were all judged according to what? What was in the books, remember? And the books were open, and their deeds were judged and rewarded or the penalty for their sin was assessed. We saw that there are degrees of punishment in the lake of fire, but it's all punishment. None of it is good. It is horrible. It is a horrible place. But what did we see? How can you call God faithful when something like that happens? What did we see all the way through the book of Revelation? The opportunity to repent, even with the angel flying in mid-heaven having the eternal gospel. We saw the two witnesses. We saw the 144,000 that will go all the way through protected with the eternal gospel to come unto me all ye are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest from what? Your striving to be good. Because you will have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. And we saw over and over and over again, they did not repent, and they did not repent, and they did not repent so as to give glory to God and to come into the family of God and become an overcomer. Overcome what? Overcome death caused by sin. And to all those overcomers, we saw in chapters 2 and 3, he who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. the churches. To him who overcomes, I will, and then the promise. So we saw that because of the way that is phrased, the promises were not just made to those seven churches. If you are an overcomer, you have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And you have been declared righteous, and the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to your account. And you are an overcomer. You are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on that cross to take your penalty upon His own body and take the punishment that you deserved. It was a substitutionary atonement, willingly and lovingly provided by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And I don't care how many times you've studied the Bible, and you have really studied Revelation up until now, did you ever see anybody striving to be good and the Lord said, well, you're better than anybody else. I'll take you. Come on in to my kingdom. You didn't see that, did you? That is not a criteria of salvation. You must meet the righteousness of God, and the only way to do that is by the only one who is righteous, and that's Jesus. There's salvation in none other than the Lord Jesus. And I think as we have seen this, you have seen the value of that message and the fact that you are always to be ready to give an account of your faith, because we are ambassadors for Christ. Now you see what's coming. And if that doesn't inspire everyone to at least be available, because you can't just go out and start witnessing. But if God wants that message to go to someone, He will, this sweet thing right here will say, oh, well, tell me where you go to church or something. And the invitation will be there, and you need to have the words, and you need to be ready all the time, because you never know who you're going to run into that's going to have a question for you to answer. And that just may be the spark that leads them into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you were there, and you were faithful. And I tell you, you'll do a lot of things in your life, but nothing will excite you quite as much as having that happen. When you know that you were obedient to be a witness of Christ, and you see the results right there. All right, when we open this lesson, as a short review of last week, we see all sinners from all ages, the demons and men, including Satan, the beast, the false prophet, are all down here in the lake of fire. As soon as Jesus came, He sent the beast and the false prophet, that's the Antichrist, and the false prophet into the lake of fire. Then you saw at the great white throne judgment, right before that great white throne judgment here, Satan was released from the chains for 1,000 years in the abyss. He was released, leads a rebellion, and just like that, Jesus slays them all, just burns them up, and throws Satan down here into the lake of fire. And at the great white throne judgment, we saw death and Hades gave up the dead. These are the dead of all ages that have been held here in torment from Luke 16. You can see that right here. And they come up and they're judged according to... And now everybody, every sinner of all ages is now locked up forever and ever and ever in the lake of fire, where the worm dies not and the fire never ceases. They are in torment according to their deeds forever and ever and ever. There is no hope for them. It's over. They will never disappear, and their torment will never stop. And just think of who they're there with, Satan and all those demons. And there's no truth there. So there's nothing holding them back from pure, unadulterated, horrendous sin. That's terrible. That is really terrible. There's not one believer before this throne. This is a judgment, final judgment on sin. And Jesus has taken our penalty. We are blameless. Thank goodness we can turn the page now to chapter 21. And as we do that, we see the first word, then, which is an expression of time. And you see this all the way through the book of Revelation. That is why it's important for us to have marked all of those expressions of time, because we see how Revelation is laid out for us. It is progressive. I saw, that is John speaking. John has been speaking all the way through what he saw. He was to write the things which you see that shall take place after these things. Remember in 1:19, this is the last group that he was to write, the things which shall take place after these things, all the way from chapter 4 all the way up until 19 and 20. All right. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. Ladies, that's where we're living right now. There are three heavens. These listed in Scripture, and we'll see that later on when we begin to break this all down and look at the actual prophecies and explanations from the Old and New Testament through the eyes of the Old Testament prophets, from Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament. We'll see all of the things they talked about of this period that we have so minutely studied in this book. And then you're going to see, the minute you read them, where it's going to fit. If you've done your homework and you've used your brain and got a little of this, then it's stuck. Then you'll see. Got to have it stick. There are three heavens. There's the firmament where you see that beautiful moon last night. Called a friend of mine, and they happened to be on the beach at St. George's Island looking at this beautiful moon, and I said, I'm looking at that same moon, but it's more fun where you are. All of that is going to be burned up. That is part of this creation. Then there is the heaven above that where the battle is going on between God's angels and Satan's angels right now. And then there's the heaven where God is. There are three heavens. Remember Paul said he was caught up in the Spirit to the third heaven? That's where God lives. So as we open Revelation 21, he says, and a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. That's information of what this new creation is going to be. There is no sea. Well, without the sea, there is no hydrological. I had to write that word down. That's a big word. Hydrological system. Without the sea, the earth wouldn't, you know, the water would go up and get purified and come down pure and clean in the rain and all, and it just goes around and around and around. So the new heaven and the new earth will not be like this heaven, this earth that we're living on now. Not dependent on water to exist. All right? And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And guess what? The city is going to be the capital of this new creation, this new heaven and this new earth. It's already there. He spoke it into existence, just exactly like he spoke in Genesis. It doesn't have to evolve. It comes from the breath of his mouth down perfect, absolutely perfect, and it comes from God. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle, which is the dwelling place. You remember those that dwell on the earth? And we don't dwell on the earth. We are passing through. We as believers are aliens in this creation now, because we've been redeemed and our citizenship is already in this place. We're not there yet, but we're citizens of it. That is our destination. New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, and it is coming directly from God. Remember, It said, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. The description that we see in this chapter here, when we study it with the all the beautiful stones and brilliant light and all this wonderful, it's not like the stones on this earth, which are flawed. They're all flawed. These are crystal clear. And from the description and the names they use, you can't really tell what they are because they've changed down through the years. But this is how they should have been before the curse, before they were cracked. And it is also a description of how the bride is going to be bright and pure in fine white linen. And the bride are believers of all ages, and this is their destination. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. Remember, in John 1:14 it said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word there is tabernacled. The tabernacle in the wilderness was the meeting place of God. There I will come and tabernacle. I will dwell with you over the Ark of the Covenant, over the Holy of Holies. And we saw that in the pillar of fire and the cloud of smoke as He protected them and guided them through that period. And the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And when we study 1 Corinthians 15, we will find at this time is when Jesus turns over the keys of the kingdom to His Father. So they're both, all together, in one huge redeemed body of humanity from Adam and Eve all the way through until that time. All right? And He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There won't be any tears in heaven the moment you're there. These descriptions of what there won't be has already left. You're not going to get to heaven and have, like some preachers will tell you, and you're just going to mourn over your sin and forget it. He's taken your sin away as far as the east is from the west. You will appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive your awards for the gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble got burned up on the way up there. And you won't ever think about it again, and neither will He. I've remembered them no more. That's a promise for you. Is that not unbelievable? There won't be any tears in heaven. There will be no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God will not go back on His word. These tears, they were never there to begin with in heaven. You're going to come with joy to your Redeemer. Don't believe any of that stuff. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. They passed away before you ever got there. And He who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And He tells John, He says, write, for these words are faithful and true. And then He said to me, it is done. It's all done. They're all in heaven. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. At the time this was written, they were all speaking Koine Greek. And it was written in Koine Greek. Those are the last two, the beginning and the end of the Greek alphabet. I was there in the beginning. I created all this. I have brought it to a close, and now I am making all things new the way I intended it from way back when I created it in Genesis. Now I'm making all things new. It's going to turn out different this time. All in the plan of God. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. Remember, this is heaven. There is no more sea. This is eternal water. This is eternal life. We're not dependent on water anymore, but the word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it's there in abundance. He's thought of everything. He who overcomes will inherit these things. Who are the overcomers? The believers of all ages. The believers of all ages. They have overcome because Christ overcame and we are now in Him. And if He overcomes, we overcome because of what He did, not us. We just believed. And I will be His God and He will be my son. And that kind of figures because we're girls, but we're going to be His son. But then all the boys are the bride of Christ. So we're just going to give that one to Him. And he can just tell us how come He said it that way. You know, we're just going to let Him have that one. But, now here we go. Here is a contrast just to let you know how joyful you should be at your future dwelling place. For the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, their part in the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, is all down here and they're all down there. God is faithful and true. He tells us what He's going to do beforehand, and every single one of them we have studied. And the promises are yea and amen. And you see here that they're all true because we see what He's told us. No, but they are by the time we get to our chapter, today's lesson. No. I told you when they get here. It hadn't come yet. Thank you. Did everybody get that? All right. Then the seven angels who had the seven bowls of the seven last plagues came and spoke to me, saying, come here and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, in case you didn't get it the first time. You know, this is where she's going to be. This is Jerusalem, the holy city, the glory of God and all its brilliance. Having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. And the great house, and you've seen, you know, from 12 all the way down to verse 21 explains what this glory is going to, it's going to be glorious. He doesn't tell us everything that's going to happen. He doesn't tell us and describe, you know, what the dwelling places are, but he describes the whole thing in such glory and such brilliance and such perfection. This is what we're to understand. So when we get there, guess what? We like surprises, don't we? We like good surprises. And that's what it's going to be. It's going to be one discovery after another of all of the things that God has planned for us. And because there are no tears, there are no sorrows, there are no crying, I'm not going to have to worry because Patricia's room is bigger than mine. And Gussie, because she's a judge, is going to know more than I'm going to know. Now, that's not going to happen because we will know and we will all partake of the same glory and beauty of what God has planned for everyone. And that's why there are no tears. That's why there's no sin in heaven. It's all gone. And we won't ever have those emotions again. Can you imagine? I can't imagine it. I just can't wait. Then you see something about the names of the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. What is the word I'm looking for? Representation of who all is there. In heaven, the redeemed of all ages is Jew and Gentile, Israel, the church, And here they're all together and there is no distinction. There is no distinction. They're all one body of believers in heaven. And we see, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. We worship all the time. Can you imagine what the music is going to be like? That excites me. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and the lamp is the bride, is the Lamb. And the nations, at this point, you see there's just one reference here. The nations, we're all together. They are not separated into groups anymore. Human beings, there's not Jew, there's not Gentile, there's not lady, there's not gentleman, there's not, you know, any of those things. The nations will walk by its light. And the light is the Lamb. They're all believers. Looking forward to Messiah in the Old Testament and back to what He did on the cross in the New Testament. It is all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the daytime, and let's see, the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. The kings of the earth, whoever was important here, it no longer matters. On earth, it no longer matters. In heaven, we're all one with Christ. And everything that everybody ever had, any position or anything else, it is humbly brought before the throne of God in the daytime, for there will be no light there. Its gates will never be closed because there's no crime. There's no sin. And they will bring glory and honor of the nations into it. Nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you see here that what you learned about that Lamb's Book of Life at the Great White Throne Judgment is true. If your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, nothing can snatch you out of the hand of the one who bought you on the cross of Calvary. He has lost not one. Only those whose names are written in the Book of Life of the Lamb. In Revelation 22, we see then, and there's another expression of time, the angel of 21:9, the one of the angels who had the bowls of wrath. Then he showed me, this is the angel that's still showing John, a river of the water of life. Remember the woman at the well, and Jesus, he said, if you drink of my water, you will never thirst again. This is not real water. This is eternal life, that which sustains eternal life in heaven. You will not be dependent on water. Crystal, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. See, they're together. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This doesn't mean the healing as if something was wrong with them. This is nourishment. This is just pure nourishment. And as I was thinking about this morning, it reminded me of, this is another Mrs. Jenkinism. Now this is Miss Hayes' opinion. But remember when we were studying about the two witnesses in chapter 11 and the mention was of the two olive trees and the oil and how that corresponded with Zechariah chapter 4, I think it was, and the two olive there. It's God's continuous provision of the oil to keep that lamp in the menorah. Burning constantly of their witness of the Lord Jesus. And this is what we live by Him. Our whole life and our being are in Him, and He is supplying everything that we will need constantly, never, ever, ever to give out. constant in the tree of life. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. All of us. And they will see his face. You know, no human being ever was allowed to see God's face because they would have died. That glory would have been so brilliant. They would have been consumed right away. And now we're glorified. We're in heaven. We're with him. We're fit for heaven. We're going to study that in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to understand what that means. And his name will be on their foreheads, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign for how long? Ever and ever and ever. Now, what I'm building up to is this list of promises. I hope you dug in your email and found that list of promises that I sent you to the churches. You should have moved that forward with your observation worksheets. We're going to look at that in a minute. And he said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets," the spirits of the prophets, he's the one who spoke through them. And he would speak to the prophet, and they would go out and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and then repeat what he heard. By the power of his spirit, this is how it happened. "Send his angel to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place." Where did you see that? Huh? Verse 1 of chapter 1. That is why the book was written. And here we are in 22, and you see that John has written it all down. And Jesus reminds you why he has written this book. He sent his angel to show his bondservants the thing which must soon take place. "And behold, I am coming quickly." And that doesn't mean like tomorrow. It might be. But it is his imminent return. And when he appears, it's going to be like that. That's what it's going to be like. "Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book." And what did we see was missing here? Reading and hearing. Because that doesn't do it. You've got to understand that it is those who obey or heed what they hear. Submit to his lordship. Those are the ones that are blessed. And it doesn't say then right after that, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." That's all over now. We're in heaven at this point in Revelation. You have to understand is, blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. This tells the faithfulness of God and the coming judgment. This is the last chance. My word is going out. Heed it, whoever you are. Because the time is near. And now John starts again speaking. And he said, "I, John," now he's testifying now of all that he's done. This is John swearing, like in a courtroom, that what he's written, "I am the one who heard and saw these things." I'm an eyewitness. This is not secondhand account. I'm an eyewitness. "And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things." Because that angel had come from God, full of glory. And he said to me, "Don't do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and those who heed the words of this book." Who's that? That's us. That angel is serving us at the direction of who? God. He's God's messenger. In fact, there's probably one standing right here trying to keep me straight this morning. Worship God. Don't worship angels. worship God. And he said to me, do not. Remember when in chapter 10, when John was told to eat the little book, and in your stomach it will be bitter, but in your mouth it'll be sweet, and all this and all. And he said, then he heard the message of the seven peals of thunder and said, seal that up until the end. Here he says, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. And it means the end is next. When you come to this point right here, the end is next, and it's forever. In other words, once we are in heaven, as revealed to us in chapters 21 and 22, there's nothing coming after that. This is an eternal state that we will have arrived at our eternal home with God. And he has shown his character down through the ages and all of his glory and majesty and power and truthfulness and all that he is. And he's ours forevermore. And we are his. There's nothing coming after this, or he would have told us. And then this is what we're going to do tomorrow. But he didn't do that. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Continue to walk in the way of the Lord. And those who did not repent will continue to walk the way they are unless they see the light and repent. Behold, I am coming quickly. It's imminent. And my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. You have seen the eternal destination of both groups of people, the saved and the lost, the redeemed and the unrepentant in unrighteousness. There is no other way. You can't be good enough to please him and get to the pearly gates. Then St. Peter said, you did pretty well. Come on in. No, that's not going to happen. How many times have you heard that? I have. I'm not nearly as bad as... Oh, really? Show me in the Bible where it says that's a criteria. It's not there. And you have seen the eternal destination of both of these. You have seen the judgment of the great harlot right here. The world system that is so evil at this point. So evil. The woman, Mystery Babylon. You've seen the other woman in chapter 12 who is Israel. You've seen the bride of Christ over here. And you have seen the destination of the redeemed woman, and you have seen the destination of Babylon, the Antichrist and Satan's kingdom. And it's all down here, forever and ever and ever. Blessed are those who wash their robes so they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside, now this is not our sweet little puppy dog. My Toby's not a dog in this thing right here. He was not one of those. This is how they were viewed back then. They were not the pets and domesticated the way they are now. They fed in the dump heaps and horror, it was just awful. And they're compared to those because the people who read this back in 96 AD would have understood how vile those animals were. And the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying, all of that is sin. And that's just half the list. I mean, not even half of it. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on. So don't think to yourself, well, I didn't really do that. No, I might have done that a little bit, but no, I didn't do that one. I didn't murder anybody. That's not what this means. This is downright practicing every bit of this. This is a lifestyle that has not been redeemed. I, Jesus, have sent my angel. Now, this is Jesus. We heard John's testimony, and now we're hearing the words of Jesus. I, Jesus. And he's got his right hand up. And he said, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright and morning star. How can you be the root, the ancestor of David, the root of who he is, and the descendant of David? And that is because he is God and he is man at the same time. The only one who could come and redeem. The bright and morning star. And what was the promise to one of the churches? I will give you the morning star, the brightest one coming down from heaven. Who was that to? Oh, please tell me where it is. I will give you the morning star anyway. The what? Okay. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears, and that means to heed, say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Only those who are thirsty say, come. They're the only ones who realize they need to have that need quenched by him. These are the only ones who hear and obey. The rest of them are ignoring the whole thing. The bride and the Spirit say, come. And let the one who hears come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. Jesus did it all. Has any of that changed since Genesis? No. I testify to everyone who hears, that's and obeys, the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues or the curses or the judgments which are written in this book. And they're really awful, aren't they? And true and sure. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. That's the New Jerusalem and the tree of life. This means anyone who teaches or preaches and willfully leaves out or says that Jesus is, oh, he's a prophet, he's a good guy. You know, this started from the time he walked the face of the earth. But we've seen churches founded around 400 A.D. and certain cities around the world and still in existence today. Anybody who says, yes, Jesus died on the cross for your sins, but then you have a part too. You have got to serve him and you've got to do this. So it's adding to the word of God. That's what that means. Other people call him a prophet. And one of them ran for president not long ago. And that was a modern version of adding to or taking away. And founded a great big church. If anyone takes away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God will take away his part from the tree of life, from the holy city, which are written in this book. Why? Because God has one way of salvation. Who hears or reads and heeds. And come unto Christ. He alone can save you by his blood on the cross. And these words are faithful and true, out of John as an eyewitness and out of Jesus. He who testifies to these things said, yes, and this is Jesus talking again. I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And that's what we all should feel in our heart right now. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Let's look at the homework for just a minute. We saw the two women in Revelation 17 and 18 and Revelation 21. And we saw when John was in the Spirit in Revelation 17, seeing the woman clothed in scarlet riding the great red dragon, her cup was full of abominations of immorality. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. John was taken away to the wilderness. When John saw, he was carried away in the spirit in Revelation 21, where was he taken? To a high mountain. You see the difference? You see the description of Mystery Babylon here and the world empire of this beast or antichrist, as we will find out who he is in our further study. You will see the abominations of this whole world system as opposed to the New Jerusalem. And you'll see everything pure and clean, and you don't need to lock your doors. And, you know, it's all absolutely glorious and totally satisfying. No condemnation, and everything over here is this self-imploding in this world system. You take the truth out of the world, and it just spirals right straight down. And it's going to wind up right here in the pit. And that's who they're going to be associated with forever and ever and ever and ever. You see the contrast. And that's why we were to make these lists. Doesn't making the list help you understand the truth of all this? You compare the two and you see nothing good is ever said about the evil world system that is controlled by Satan. I don't care how pretty they dress up or how nice they sound or how many university degrees they have or what positions they're in all over the world. If they don't belong to Jesus, it's all going to burn up. But it's not going away because it will be here. And the punishment will be forever and ever and ever and ever. And the bride, adorned for her husband in the New Jerusalem. God, the Lamb will walk among her, and no tears and no death or mourning or crying or pain. It's all gone. That's sin. That's part of the sin. There's no sin there. We don't understand that. And you saw the picture of her abode. It's just glorious. Glorious, glorious. And it's all for her. And then you see here that it's nothing but fire and brimstone. You see the comparison. We see the nations on page 45. They walk by the light of the Lamb. They're all together. They are one big, glorious body of the bride of the Lamb. And they're all together. There is no distinction anymore. And they're healed, they're nourished by what flows from that tree of life from God forever and ever and ever. And they don't have to do anything. They don't have to be like Adam after he sinned. You will toil for everything in the world and in the dirt of the ground or whatever he said. And there's no more curse. Therefore, it's all perfect. And then you see the contrast of those outside described as cowardly, unbelieving. Is there anything positive here? Beautiful, lovely, trustworthy, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters. These are evil, evil people in Satan's clutch. And then on page 46, what overcomers received. Let's look at that promise list and go through it. The promises to the seven churches. They will eat of the tree of life. Did you see that? In chapter 22. They will not be hurt by the second death. That was the promise to Smyrna. This is the second death here. There are not any believers here at the great white throne judgment. That's the second death, the lake of fire forever and ever for all unbelievers of all ages. That won't hurt you. You're part of the first resurrection. You will be given a white stone and a new name written on the stone, and no one knows but he who believes it. When Jesus comes, he's got a name that no one knows. We're going to know those names when we get there. All right? He who overcomes, he will, and keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. As soon as we're here in this millennial kingdom, we're going to rule and reign with him. Remember? With the rod of iron. And that goes right on into the to the eternal state in heaven. And you will sit on his throne. I think that is a metaphor for we will all be, you know, together. And however he's going to work that out, I don't know. And we saw he will rule them with a rod of iron. That's Jesus in 19 and 20. And he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. We saw that in 19 when the bride had made herself ready. She washed her robes where? In the blood of the Lamb that made them bright and clean. An extremely fine, fine cloth. Glorious cloth. And will not erase his name from the book of life. Once you're there, you're always there. By the blood of the Lamb. I will also keep you from the hour of testing. That hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. We haven't looked at that one yet. Ha, ha, ha. Revelation 3:12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And you saw in the temple in heaven the names of the apostles and the prophets of the Old Testament and the sons of Israel and all in the temple. And, you know, that was but all those names are written there. And that's our promise too. And I will write upon them the name of my God. And remember it said, you have the name written on your forehead. All right. And the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God. And my new name, he will have his name written. That means you belong to him for all eternity. He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, and we've seen that. Every one of these promises is going to be fulfilled because here he promises it, and you've seen it fulfilled. His word is yea and amen. It is true. It was true the day it was written. It is true for all eternity and cannot be changed. Because it is sealed by the blood of the Lamb, and where is he now? In heaven. You can't touch it, the Word of God. You might think you can, but he has guarded it down through the ages. So what you hold in your hand is the Word of God, and it is all you need to know for righteousness and salvation. And that's how much he loves you. And he's brought you all here to show you how true that word is, to hide it in your heart. Because the day may come when they take it away from you. It's the Christians across this whole world now that are being persecuted. And unless he comes again soon, it may happen. And that will be the only thing that you have to hold on to, because the whole world is going to perish. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each lady who has registered for this course to come and study your word, to see what you have said, to see what you sent the angel to tell John to write, to show his bondservants the things that must shortly take place. Lord, we look for that glorious day when you come with the clouds and every eye will see him. We look for the day that you come to take us to be with you. We look for the time when your feet touch down on the Mount of Olives and you come to set up your righteous kingdom, Lord. We can't wait for the fall when we'll see what happens then, what you have come to do. We thank you that in the book of Revelation you have told us what you're going to do then and what you're going to do after then. We thank you that you've told us where we will be because our faith is in you. And Lord, we give you all the glory. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And we all say in our heart, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.